All right. You ready to get the show on the road?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's be done.
Heard that. What's up? This is Movies on Up. You'll float again. The man, not floating, but seated directly across from me, as per kind of usual, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Pacella.
It's me.
That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up. You'll float again is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, send your guess to us in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guess to us at moviesonup on the Twitter if you are correct. And if we choose you, you will be the proud winner of a Movies on Up prize package, which will float its way right into your mailbox, and you'll just have to open it up to see.
If you don't know it at first, try again.
Think about maybe the it second, again.
Your second it would maybe be better.
Maybe. There will be no mention of It Chapter 2 other than the mention that we just gave on this week. This is our summer preview, and we have decided that our summer preview is going to run through essentially the end of April through August.
Avengers through August is what yes. we've done the past few years.
A to A. Whenever that is, it comes out at the beginning of September. And that was the one movie that I was like, oh, that's too bad we won't get to talk about that. But this is our way around that, letting you know that our summer preview and a preamble, oh yeah, whenever the summer ends, it shows up in September. So you have that to be excited for as well. Let's just kick it off. Why belabor the point, something that we have all been excited for seemingly 10 years, but at the very least since we left theaters this time last year, is finally here, April 25th or the 24th, as I will be seeing it in lieu of the NFL draft, because now I'm a Browns fan. I don't have to care about the first night of the NFL draft. I can go watch Avengers Endgame, directed by Joe and Anthony Russo, starring the Avengers. And Disney wrapping up what is one of the most incredible cinematic achievements that I can recall. We'll go into more of that next week when we talk about
Avengers.
Yeah, I
don't want to talk a bunch about it. We're doing a whole episode next week about Marvel and the Avengers, because we generally do summer preview followed by a Marvel episode. So we'll talk about it next week.
In short order, but we do feel like that's kind of when the summer movie season starts in earnest. So that's the first movie on our list. The last movie in April is Avengers Endgame. Then we go to May 3rd, where we get Ben Hernandez Bray's El Chicano, starring Logan Arevalo, Jose Pablo Cantillo, and David Castaneda. Hernandez Bay makes his feature directorial debut with a seemingly autobiographical tale about two Latino brothers growing up in a very different Los Angeles.
It sounds kind of like Blindspotting from last year, where you have these dudes that grew up together that wrote this movie. That's very autobiographical. Not saying the movies are similar, but
this sounds as a little more of a rough edge on it than Blindspotting did.
Yeah, but just the, hey, these guys are making a movie that's, they're getting their shot.
And the director is a prolific stunt guy for years and years and years, so it's cool to see him be able to helm this project totally. Also in wide release that week is Deion Taylor's The Intruder, starring Michael Ealy, Megan Good, and Dennis Quaid. Quaid sells the house he grew up in, then presumably decides that he's going to die in it after harassing the new owners.
This sounds like it's out of the early 90s.
Yeah.
Like that Madeline Stowe one. I forget the name of it. I just remember.
I feel
Madeline
like this is
Stowe.
Like a Terry O'Quinn movie.
Yeah. There were a bunch of these movies in the 90s. Like Hand That Rocks the Cradle and the Madeline Stowe one where she was topless. And then there's other ones. But we had a good run in the early 2000s, too. There was a couple.
No word on whether Dennis Quaid will appear topless in this movie. It may be a long shot, which is our next wide release, directed by Jonathan Levine, starring Charlize Theron, Seth Rogen, and O'Shea Jackson Jr. Levine reteams with Seth Rogen. That pair has brought one of, it is now a Christmas tradition at my house to watch the night before. Like both of those guys, this is one I'll probably watch when it hits the video store. There's a couple comedies like that this summer that...
This one I'll probably go see. Okay. I like Rogan. I like Theron. The story seems fun. It's she's basically a Clinton-type character who is Secretary of State, and she's going to run for president. And
super hot.
Yeah, yeah. And then Seth Rogen went to school with her, gets hired to write speeches, and they fall in love. I like Levine. I like Rogen. Charlize Theron, I think, is way funny and doesn't really show it off all that much. So I'm excited to see her work with Rogen and really pull that out.
That pair will be fun. I mean, it's a formula that we've seen a lot. It's like hot chick, dumpy looking guy.
Yeah, it's one of those that, like, yeah, this checks all the boxes. This is a rom-com.
Yeah.
But, you know, Seth Rogen, Jonathan Levine, those interest me. So
for sure. Also in wide release that week is Kelly Asbury's Ugly Dolls, starring Kelly Clarkson, Nick Jonas, Mr. Worldwide, a ton of music artists that if you have small children, they know who the hell all these people are. One, I did mention the Jonas. I was going to say there's one of them. There's a Charlie XCX. There's some more acronyms in there. I don't know.
Kelly Clarkson's follow-up to From Justin to Kelly.
Hell, he may even be in this movie for all I know. I'm not sure if you've seen...
Just, or whatever, Lil Sweet. Lil Sweets and Ugly Dolls.
I do enjoy those commercials. Have you seen the dolls in this? I don't really find them particularly ugly.
I don't know what ugly dolls are.
I don't know. I looked at them on IMDb, and they just kind of look like puffy-looking dolls that maybe don't have both
They're
of their eyes.
They're not Garbage Pail Kids.
No, those are some ugly dolls. Nothing ugly about the May 10th wide release, and that is Rob Letterman's Detective Pikachu, starring Ryan Reynolds, Justice Smith, and Catherine Newton. Unquestionably a cute star here as Dreamboat Ryan Reynolds voices Pikachu in a Pokemon noir. That is a sentence I never imagined I would say.
Why am I so excited for this movie? Like, I don't know anything about Pokemon. Nothing about Pokemon. So it's not like I'm excited to see a Bulbasaur on the big screen or whatever.
Ooh, somebody does know something about Pokemans.
But I know Pikachu and Bulbasaur. That's it. But the trailers for this are great. It looks like a lot of fun. And
we may
I'm
never
really
get
excited for it.
Roger Rabbit 2. I'm not saying this is going to be a stand-in. Maybe best case scenario. Yeah.
Maybe better than Happy Time Murders, which I liked.
I would think a lot less semen. A little bit less semen, at least.
Hopefully. But yeah, it looks so good, and I don't know why. I have no attachment to Ryan Reynolds or Justin Smith or Pikachu, but I'm into it.
You may also be into another comedy next week. We're starting the summer off hot with comedies. And this one is Chris Addison's The Hustle with Anne Hathaway, Rebel Wilson, and Dean Norris. Hathaway and Wilson team up to scam some scum who have wronged them in the past.
That's one of those that, like you said, with Long Shot, like, I'll see it. I'm not going to rush out to see it. But Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson are enough to get me to watch it.
Not unlike when Melissa McCarthy teams up with, like, Sandra Bullock. I mean, I like those movies. They're funny. There's a lot going on early in the summer. I'm sure I will miss this one, but I will catch it before the year is up. The same cannot be said for Zara Hayes' Palms, starring Diane Keaton, Jackie Weaver, and Pam Grier. Keaton forms a geriatric cheerleading squad at a retirement community. Bring it old.
There's a spot for these movies. You know, we had the old ladies jerking off to 50 Shades, what, last year?
Did that have Diane Keaton, too?
I think so. Well, she's one of the old ones.
I guess,
like,
that's
and
true.
And then there's, I'll never see them, but, like, I understand their existence. Like,
old people see movies,
old
too?
Old people, yeah. They need movies, too.
We don't have a ton of limited releases on the list, but the couple we do are ones that just interested me, and the first one is in limited release that week. It is Dome Kikorsky's Tolkien, starring Nicholas Holt, Lily Collins, and Colm Meaney. Holt plays Tolkien as he heads to World War I, where his Middle Earth stories really begin to crystallize. Tolkien, of course, J.R.R. Tolkien, the guy that wrote the Hobbit books, if that wasn't abundantly clear already.
The biopics never really sell me. There's one coming up in a couple of weeks that I'm really into, and I like when you do something different with them, and I'm not sure this one is. I haven't seen enough from it.
Fair enough. I'm just curious to see how the war specifically may have affected, or his early life brought to the works that we know so well. Which brings us to May 17th, A Dog's Journey, directed by Gael Mancuso, starring a dog, Marg Helgenberger, not a dog, Betty Gilpin, and Josh Gad. It's a sequel to 2017's A Dog's Purpose, which should let you know that this journey may not end well for the dog. many times.
Don't the dogs usually die at the end of these movies?
In A Dog's Purpose.
If it's not Beethoven.
The dog dies multiple times through that movie and is
now
reincarnated.
I'm into it. Now I'm into it.
As
you just sold
a
it.
Dragon. Yeah. Then there you go. You've got enough time to check out 2017's before you get to see this. Is John Wick's journey at an end? We will certainly find out in Chad Stahovski's John Wick : Chapter 3 - Parabellum. That is a lot of punctuation. A lot of bullets will be flying around with Keanu Reeves, Halle Berry, and Lawrence Fishburne. John Wick prepares for war against the High Table of Assassins, or something to that effect.
There's buddy aspect with him and Halle Berry, which I think will be cool. I mean, I'll see it. I didn't like the second one all that much, but the title drives me nuts. I hate it. Like, John Wick Chapter 2, like, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. But Chapter 3, Parabellum, no, don't start naming them on the third one.
Not to be confused with John Wick Chapter 3, period. Yeah. In a classic example of counter-programming, we have Rai Russo Young's The Sun Is Also a Star, starring Yara Sahandi and Charles Melton, based on the New York Times bestseller by Nicola Yoon.
Have not read it.
Neither have I, because we don't do a podcast about books. Just take us to May 24th and James Gray's Ad Astera, starring Brad Pitt, Ruth Negga, and Jamie Kennedy. How about that? Welcome back, Jamie. The Lost City of Z director teams up with Brad Pitt to give us what he says is the most realistic depiction of space travel, meaning most likely it doesn't look like it's going to be a lot of fun.
It seems like we don't see Brad Pitt in, like, big movies anymore.
Going to see him in a couple big movies this summer.
Yeah.
Maybe he's taking care of that.
Yeah, and I love Ruth Negga, but
yes.
Jamie Kennedy's enough to make me not want to see it.
And he's really high-billed in this.
Yeah, that's not a selling point for me.
Pitt may wish he didn't go on that trip, and perhaps one of the stars of our next movie may be able to help him out with that, and that is, speaking of another sentence I never thought I would say, Guy Ritchie directing the live-action Aladdin movie, starring Mina Massad, Naomi Scott, and Will Smith. Guy Ritchie, the guy I grew up watching Lock, Stock, and Snatch. This is the man that is going to adapt the 1992 classic with Will Smith stepping into the vest that was filled 27 years ago by Robin Williams.
I think Will Smith will be really good in this.
Probably, yeah.
That role, Robin Williams did it really well, obviously. Like, he did it well.
He did it how you would expect Robin Williams to do it.
Yes, but a lot of what made it great was it was funny, it was charming, he was quick. Will Smith is all of that. Will Smith is not going to mimic the Robin Williams genie. Will Smith is going to play the Will Smith genie, which I think will work really, really well.
Yeah, I'm sure the movie will make a ton of money just because these ones do. The live-action Disney movies have done really well. That's why we've got a ton of them, even a ton of them
this summer.
Yeah, exactly. They just keep churning out. One that I think is maybe flying a little bit under the radar right now is Olivia Wilde's Booksmart, starring Caitlin Denver, Beanie Feldstein, and Billy Lord. Wilde's making her directorial debut with a coming-of-age comedy featuring young ladies. We got a great one last year in eighth grade. This one, the buzz is, I don't want to say just as good, but pretty damn close.
It looks great. It looks very funny. This, and later on in the summer we'll get to, it's Good Boys or whatever, the Tremblay one.
Yeah.
This looks hilarious. It looks funny, and I've liked where Olivia Wilde's career has gone. She went from this really dull, boring, pretty face that was thrown into movies like Tron and Aliens versus Cowboys or whatever that was. And she just seemed like,
I believe it was Cowboys versus Aliens,
yeah,
Dave.
And she just seemed like this, another pretty face that'll be in a couple big movies for a year or two.
Megan Fox.
Yeah. And then she started doing smaller ones, started doing comedy. Her career's turned out pretty awesome. I'm interested in Olivia Wilde stuff now, and to see her as a writer or as a director, at least, it looks great. I'm really excited for this one.
Yeah, that was one that I kind of found doing this. I didn't know much about it before, but now I'm very excited, which is kind of the opposite of, not that I'm not excited about Brightburn, but I've known about this one for a while. Directed by David Yurovsky, produced by James Gunn, written by his brother and his cousin, starring frequent Gunn collaborator Elizabeth Banks, David Denman, and Jackson A. Dunn. Pretty much when Gunn got fired from a superhero movie, he produced this one, written by his family, which has a much darker tone, kind of a that old what if Superman had landed in Russia and he'd have been a bad guy, and
it's
that's kind of what this is.
It's a Superman horror movie.
Yep.
From James Gunn overseeing it. And so I just love that the people got Gunn fired from
Guardians 3.
Guardians. Yeah. And he goes and gets Brightburn and Suicide Squad and then still gets hired back on for Guardians. So they got him two other movies out of it. So good job.
I'm pumped
good
to see.
Good job, trolls.
I'm pumped to see another. This is not a James Gunn horror movie, but it has his stamp of approval
on it.
It's
going to have his fingerprints all over it.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of that. One monstrously powerful Titan deserves another, and that is what we get in May 31st. Speaking of a director that we like an awful lot, Michael Dougherty brings us Godzilla, King of the Monsters, starring Kyle Chandler, Vera Farmiga, Millie Bobby Brown, and Godzilla. Before he takes on Kong, the king must battle the Murderer's Row. That is Mothra, Rodan, and King Ghidorah.
I liked the last Godzilla. I really did.
Sure.
This looks like it's really fixing everything that people that hated that Godzilla movie hated.
This is a Godzilla movie where Godzilla's going to
fight
some
lots of monsters.
Yep. I'm totally into it. I believe it's the third in the legendary Monsterverse now with Skull Island, which I thought was cool too.
I thought Skull Island was good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Fan of that. Hopefully this one does well. I like to see Doherty's movies do well just because I want Trick or Treat 2 in the worst kind of way.
I want him to be able to make something like Krampus again.
Yeah. And this can certainly help. And I'm pumped for a potential Godzilla versus Kong. Also in wide release that week is Tate Taylor's Ma, starring a monstrous Octavia Spencer, Juliette Lewis, and Diana Silvers. Spencer proves that adults who host creep the most.
This looks great.
Fun trailer.
It looks great, but I hope there's more to it than the trailer leads you on to believe. I hope there's something else to it because the trailer shows a lot.
It does.
You feel like you see the whole movie seeing the trailer. So I hope it's one of those where it shows a lot, but that's just scratching the surface. So I hope there's more to it. Octavia Spencer in this kind of role, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. I just think it's going to be a blast. Like, I think it's going to just be fun.
Evil psycho Octavia Spencer. Let's see
yeah,
that.
I'm on board for that.
Absolutely. Probably a fair amount of drinking and partying in our next movie, Dexter Fletcher's Rocket Man, starring Taron Egerton, Jamie Bell, and the King of the North, Richard Madden.
Kit Harington is the King of the North.
Oh, so now you're going to tell me that you know about Game of Thrones, okay? Edgerton's Eddie the Eagle director takes on another British biopic. This time the subject is slightly more well-known than Eddie Edwards. Some guy named John.
This looks like how you would do an Elton John biopic. Yep. And when I say, like, what I was talking about with the Tolkien one is, like, I like when you do something different and you add aspects of their personality in. And he was this very wild, loud personality. And the movie looks like it is taking that approach. Eddie the Eagle was good. And I like Egerton. He looks like he's great in this. Like, I don't like biopics usually, but this one I will absolutely see.
I feel like the shame in this is it's going to be fantastic, and
it's a summer release.
It's a summer release, but you had Bohemian Rhapsody last year, so I just don't think that this is going to get the appreciation that it deserves, because it's going to be better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
It's hard not to be better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
Very true, but that got floated so far down the Oscar river that I'm afraid that both the performance and the movie might go a bit underappreciated, shall we say. Perhaps the only folks in the universe.
Can I make one
point? You make as many as you
like. I do like that we talked about Lock, Stock, and Snatch.
Yes.
You have the director of that movie doing live-action Aladdin remake, and then one of the stars of those movies directing an Elton John biopic in just a couple of weeks. I enjoy that.
Synergy, yeah. Perhaps the only folks in this universe that dress more flamboyantly than Elton John are, in fact, the X-Men. And on June 7th, The Dark Phoenix Rises, directed by Simon Kinberg, starring James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, and Sophie Turner. Prolific sci-fi producer Simon Kinberg directs his first movie in what will be the last go-around for this main roster of X-Men before they inevitably get folded into the MCU.
Good riddance. I mean, it's a shame because First Class I love so much. Yeah. But since then, I haven't liked any of them. And this cast is great. You've taken a great cast and just made like blah X-Men movies out of it.
Which, I'll be honest, it's hard to blame on any one person, but...
Bryan Singer. I 100% blame Bryan Singer.
He did kind of come back and ruin it. He was responsible for some of the early X-Men success.
Oh, one and two were great.
Yeah, so...
But he ruined First Class.
He did, but I think one of the people that have been there kind of all along is Kinberg. And it doesn't fill me with a lot of hot, burning excitement that this is going to be done well. Soon it's going to be done by Marvel, and I know it'll be fine. So that's kind of what I'm counting down to. It's the last go-around for them. Nichigan Terror brings us Late Night, starring Emma Thompson, Mindy Kaling, and Hugh Dancy. Kaling stars opposite Thompson as the female writer hired to save the Late Night show from cancellation.
I'm excited for this, too. I've liked Mindy Kaling for a long time. I love her books. I liked her on The Office and then The Mindy Project. She wrote this.
She wrote herself as a writer. She was stretching her wings creatively there.
But I'm excited to see Emma Thompson in this. I feel like she's going to just be ridiculous because I think her as a late night host, I think she'll really bring it. I think it'll be funny.
I'm sure it'll be funny because Mindy Kaling's stuff generally is. Emma Thompson, I think, is going to be... The trailer kind of had that Devil Wears Prada kind of vibe to it where she seems like a real bitch. But then when she's out in front of the camera... You know, she's got that different personality. So it'll be fun to see the two of them for sure. Ton of people involved in The Secret Life of Pets 2. In case you didn't get enough of it the first time around. Patton Oswalt, Eric Stonestreet, Kevin Hart, Jenny Slate, Harrison Ford. Just about everybody that's not busy at a certain point last year.
Anybody who didn't jerk off in front of acquaintances.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not in it.
No, he was replaced by Patton Oswalt, who has not jerked off that we know of in front of other people.
Knock on wood, because if he has, no pun intended, but it's coming. Men in Black International is coming on June 14th, directed by F. Gary Gray, starring Chris Hemsworth, Tessa Thompson, Rebecca Ferguson. Speaking of Emma Thompson, she is back. Her character from MIB3, Agent O, runs the London branch of the Men in Black, which is where we find the seasoned agent in Hemsworth and the rookie in Tessa Thompson with some other new faces that you probably will not be able to remember.
I liked the first Men in Black. I didn't really see either sequel. I think it's a fun idea. Hemsworth is ridiculously good at comedy, and I love Tessa Thompson at anything, so I'm excited
for it.
They'll
be fun together. We saw a little bit of that in Ragnarok. I'm excited to see more of them together for sure. I have seen all the Men in Black movies. I do not recall much of the second one at all. I did see the third one. I think, was it Jermaine in that one? Jermaine Clement, yeah. Yeah, I liked him. I thought he was a great villain. Apart from that, I don't remember anything else from that movie. I didn't remember Emma Thompson was in it, but so be it. Be interesting to see a Men in Black movie that doesn't have Will Smith or Tommy Lee Jones. You kind of have those guys penciled as those characters. Another guy that is very much the embodiment of his character is Richard Roundtree, and he is playing Shaft again in Tim Story's Shaft, starring Shaft, Samuel L. Jackson, Jesse T. Usher, and Regina Hall. Three generations of Shaft team up 19 years after Jackson last played the role and 48 years after Roundtree originated it.
It should be called Shafts.
More Shaft than you can handle. That is actually the tagline.
I think it looks great. It's taken the original three were like that blaxploitation. The Sammy Jackson one took the more dark, gritty approach. This one it looks like a buddy comedy, and
sort of,
it looks great. I think it looks funny. I think Tim Story is the perfect kind of director for this.
Which will bring us to our second limited release of the summer. And one that I cannot seem to wrap my head around. It's Jim Jarmusch's The Dead Don't Die, starring, amongst others, Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Tilda Swinton. If you have not seen this cast, just take a look. It is incredible. I think it is the best cast that's been assembled for a movie that most people have never heard of and are going to really struggle to see. but it looks amazing.
Yeah, when the trailer came out, there was pretty good buzz and made the rounds on the socials. I wasn't as nuts about the trailer as a lot of people, as the socials seem to be, and I am wary about Jim Jarmusch doing a horror comedy, kind of. So I'm not as into this as I probably should be.
Basically, I think all this movie can do is disappoint me. I love Bill Murray. I'll see him in anything. Seeing him as a small-time sheriff trying to battle a horde of zombies, I'm into. And if Carol Kane is one of the zombies, like, yeah, all right, I'll watch that too. Another movie that I hope kills it is Luc Besson's Anna, which comes out on June 21st, starring Sacha Luce, Luke Evans, Cillian Murphy, and Helen Mirren. Besson is back making another movie about an assassin. He's got a track record for that. Not that I'm expecting The Professional, but I'm going to go in hoping for it.
It's going to be better than Valerian, that's for sure.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, if Besson does a movie like this, I'm going to see it.
Worst case scenario, the guy can do some pretty cool action scenes. So at the least, you'll have that. Also in wide release that week is Lars Klevberg's Child's Play, starring Aubrey Plaza, Gabriel Bateman, Brian Tyree Henry, and Mark Hamill. It is a reboot of the 1988 horror classic featuring Hamill as the voice of the murderous doll.
I don't understand this, and I don't understand why Brian Tyree Henry is doing it, or even Mark Hamill, but I guess if you're going to reboot Chucky, I can't... Well, it's not going to be called Chucky, because they own Child's Play, they don't own Chucky. Mark Hamill's kind of the perfect voice.
Absolutely.
For it. Aubrey Plaza in a leading role, like we haven't seen her in that in a while. Well, I mean, maybe the Goes West one, but...
Yeah, but like her...
Like a mom in a horror movie?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's what I mean. Her not doing Aubrey Plaza stuff, unless she somehow manages to... I don't need that in this.
I don't need this.
That's true, too.
Period. I don't need this, period. We still have Chucky universe going on out there. Like, it's just... I mean, I was never a giant Child's Play fan anyway, but even if I were, I don't think Child's Play fans are...
I mean, the first one's all right. They're moving on without the creator, without Dorf, who's been...
Who are still doing their own thing. They're still making Chucky stuff. There's a Chucky TV show, I think, coming out. So I just don't get it.
More dolls looking to make a killing that week. Woody and Buzz and crew in Josh Cooley's Toy Story 4, starring Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, Don Rickles, R.I.P., and Keanu Reeves. After essentially rolling a natural 20 with Toy Story 3, Pixar will attempt the impossible and probably succeed somehow and nail a perfect franchise ender twice.
I haven't seen any of the Toy Stories like all the way through, so I probably should. But I
really?
Yeah. I think the one I've seen the most of is the second one. That's the one with the girl, right?
That's, yeah, the girl.
Jesse or whatever. Yeah, I've seen the most of that one. But
the Darth Vader, like, bad guy.
I don't know. I just haven't really seen one all the way through. And by everything I heard was that 3 was perfect.
They're good. 3 was excellent. An absolute perfect way.
I have this Tim Allen thing where I hate Tim Allen. Like, there are some actors.
Fair enough.
There are some actors that just turn me completely off. And I have this... There's this thing about Tim Allen that I cannot.
Toy Story is good enough to get past it, I'll be honest. And I mean, in fairness, like the first one, when that was out, was long before I could not stomach Tim Allen. I do not like him now, but I like Toy Story. So I will see this knowing full well the guy's in it, but I just won't care. Our next doll is becoming about as well known as Buzz and Woody in recent years, and that is Annabelle. Her latest, Annabelle Comes Home, comes out on June 28th. It is directed by Gary Dauberman, starring McKenna Grace, Madison Iceman, and Katie Scarfi. It is the third movie in the Annabelle series and the seventh in the Conjuring connected universe.
Conjurniverse.
Sure, Conjurniverse. I'm sure that's a thing. As Annabelle haunts the Warren's house, which is where you first meet her.
Yeah, this is Vera and Patrick Wilson in this. I like that McKenna Grace. I think she's great. She's one of those that's showing up in everything really small roles, but she's really, really good in everything.
A movie that Dave had actually previewed a while ago. I'm not sure why we were talking. Well, we talk about Danny Boyle a fair amount, but Dave had dropped a little bit of knowledge about Yesterday, starring Himesh Patel, Lily James, and Kate McKinnon. Yesterday was a Beatles song. Today, only Patel's Jack seems to know who the Beatles are.
It's just a cool concept.
Same premise. Yeah.
It's a cool concept. And with Danny Boyle's, I little known fact about me, I really like Danny Boyle movies. So I'm excited for this because it's one of those where I remember like Slumdog. It's like, oh, that doesn't sound interesting, but he made a great movie out of it. And this one, it's like a simple concept. You know, that was a boys on a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire show.
Yep.
All right. This is just nobody knows who the Beatles are except one guy who knows all their songs. And it's like, okay, yeah, I think it'll be great.
Yeah. Despite all the Ed Sheeran in it, I think it'll be great nonetheless. Which brings us to the midpoint of the summer, July 3rd. That is a Wednesday. We get the latest from Ari Aster. If you don't recognize the name, you may recognize a little film called Hereditary from last year. This is his follow-up, Midsummer, starring Florence Pugh, Jack Rayner, and Will Poulter. It's an A24 horror film starring Jack Rayner and Will Poulter. Now, that is a narrow appeal. Very narrow. But it certainly fits the two of us in this room.
And I love Florence Pugh, too. She's one of those that's rising quickly. Is like, she's going to be everywhere pretty soon, I think. Like, it's a big year for her. I'll see it. Yeah. I expect it to look gorgeous.
It will. I love Jack Rayner and I love Will Poulter. Seeing them in the same movie is going to be a lot of fun.
I love Will Poulter. I like Jack Rayner. I didn't think I did.
Oh, you're coming around. You'll love him by the time this summer is over. That is for sure. The guy we already love, Peter Parker, swings back into action on Friday, July 5th, with Spider-Man Far From Home, directed by John Watts, starring the aforementioned Tom Holland, Samuel L. Jackson, Zendaya, and Jake Gyllenhaal. Bookending the July 4th holiday, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man finds himself not only back from the dust, but far from the friendly neighborhood of New York.
I'm excited for this, obviously, because whatever.
It's a Marvel movie.
But it's like a Spider-Man we haven't seen before. He's facing the elementals.
Yeah.
Which, my biggest complaint with Spider-Man is every villain has some personal connection to him, coincidentally.
Right.
So to see him do this, I think will be cool. And I'm excited for Gyllenhaal in the MCU.
I like to see him show up in anything.
Yeah.
And him as Mysterio is, that's a fun casting.
I'm interested how they do Mysterio.
Right.
But Gyllenhaal is anybody I'd be in for.
Yeah. Spidey's buddy T'Challa is out to avenge the career that his character finds himself in July 12th's 17 Bridges, directed by Brian Kirk, starring the aforementioned Chadwick Boseman, J.K. Simmons, Sienna Miller, and Taylor Kitsch. I believe that's McAvoy Award winner Taylor Kitsch, starring opposite Boseman's detective in this one.
I like Boseman in other roles when he's not a biopic or even Black Panther. He was in that Revenge for the King or whatever that Netflix one. It was a revenge movie. It was awesome. So I like seeing him in other roles like this.
It's a big week for Dusted Avengers as Drax headlines Michael Dowse's Stuber, starring Kumail and Dave Bautista, as well as Betty Gilpin. She's in a couple movies this year. And you know what? Great. Loved her in Glow, so more of her is fine. Batista and Nanjiani, buddy cop movie, kind of, although only one of them. Batista is the cop. Kumail plays the Uber driver just along for the ride.
It looks great, and I have said many times, I love Kumail Nanjiani. To see his career, what it's doing and what it's blowing up into, he's got this. He's got a buddy comedy with John Cena. The trailer's great. I'm really excited for this one.
I
like Batista as like a leading man because he's got this, and he's got his version of the pacifier or whatever. He's got another lighter one that looks pretty funny. I like Batista as a leading man, and I like Nanjiani getting in there.
And the comedic timing we've already seen in Guardians. He is one of the funnier characters in that movie. It'll be interesting to see him have a more leading and more comedic role in this, but I'm here for it, that's for sure. Also here for an Alexander Aja movie. That one kind of, at least for me, came out of nowhere. And it's produced by Sam Raimi. It, of course, is Crawl, starring Kayla Scodero and Barry Pepper. I kind of feel like it's not going to be in the same tone, but at least a spiritual sequel to Bait. And if you don't recall that is the Sharks in a Supermarket movie that Dave speaks so highly of. This time, we find alligators in a house during a hurricane.
I cannot wait for this.
I know.
I love Kaya. I love Barry Pepper. I love alligators in a house. This
love
movie,
hurricanes.
This movie is like I just blindly picked stuff out of a hat, and then Alexander Aja made a movie out of
it. But everything in the hat is stuff you like.
Yes.
There's nothing bad in there.
Yeah, I cannot wait for this.
I do not recall. I imagine there were probably some alligators somewhere in the Jungle Book. I just don't remember seeing them. But that guy is back, and that guy is Jon Favreau. He is back on July 19th directing another live-action movie. This time around, it is The Lion King, starring Don Glover, Seth Rogen, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Beyoncé. After his success with the 2016's Jungle Book, Favreau is back again. Another Disney classic, 1994's The Lion King.
This is even less of a live-action than Jungle Book. It's quote-unquote live-action. At least Jungle Book had a dude in it. This is just all computer.
That is very true.
It looks good. Like, they look good. It looks real.
Shot for shot, pretty much, of what we have seen before.
It's going to make a lot of money.
It is absolutely.
It's going to make a lot of money. It's going to make a lot of money. Like, it's going to be up there. If it weren't for Avengers, like, this will be in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be up there. It'll be the third highest moneymaker of the year.
It's going to make more than Aladdin, for sure.
Yeah. Probably more than Aladdin and Dumbo combined.
Although, what the hell do I know? But I don't see the point in doing Aladdin and Lion King in the same year.
And Dumbo.
Well, Dumbo didn't do as well. That's not a giant surprise. But why?
Why are they so close together?
Yes, I don't understand it. I think you're going to kill the market for Aladdin. I don't know how much there is, but I don't think that's going to have a ton of legs to it. Because if I've got $10 in my hand to see one Disney remake this year, it's going to be The Lion King.
I'd have put Aladdin out in the middle of the summer and then Lion King in
next
like
year,
December.
Next year. Yeah. Or, I mean, yeah, December,
or like
then you're putting it right up
weekend.
Against you're putting it right
weekend.
Against Star Wars. I yeah. Next year.
Thanksgiving weekend.
Interestingly enough, there's pretty much no competition for Lion King that week. Everybody is waiting for the king, so to speak. That'll bring us to July 26th with Brahms, The Boy 2, directed by William Brent Bell, starring Katie Holmes, Ralph Ineson, and Owen Yeoman. Because, hey, how many Dolls Coming to Life movies are too many?
Spoiler alert, this isn't a doll coming to life movie. It's a dude that moves the doll. The first one was terrible. I watched it.
I did not watch The Boy.
It was bad.
So it's not actually like the cursed.
The dude like lives in the walls.
Oh, okay. That is a spoiler.
Yeah. It's bad. We don't need a second.
Apparently he
one.
Still lives in the walls past the events of the first one.
Yeah, I don't remember how the first one ended.
I guess it ends with him still in the walls.
I could be wrong. I don't know that he lives in the walls. It's a spoiler if I'm right. I could be thinking of a completely different movie.
I don't know. I didn't see it. But I will see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, directed by Quentin Tarantino, starring that guy that doesn't show up in movies too much anymore. It is Brad Pitt. He stars opposite Leonardo DiCaprio and Margot Robbie. QT's Manson family movie that now seems to have morphed into just a ton of late golden era Hollywood stories from the 50s, 60s. I think basically Brad Pitt's character is the stunt double for Leo's character. They're very good friends. They traverse through Hollywood. And I think DiCaprio's character is at least loosely based off of Burt Reynolds. There's a lot of real Hollywood characters. Margot Robbie is Sharon Tate. And I think there's some other people that are based on people. I'm a shill for Tarantino. I'll see just about anything he does. I happen to enjoy Hollywood stuff from the 60s and 70s, so this is certainly right up my alley.
Yeah, I'll see it eventually. I'm not.
Not into any of that stuff.
Not really.
Fair enough. That takes us to the end of July, July 31st, which is a Wednesday. James Bobin brings us Dora and the Lost City of Gold, starring Isabella Moner, Eugenio Derbez, Michael Pena, and Eva Longoria. Dora's in high school now. Let that sink in for a minute. In a movie written by pod fave Nicholas Stoller.
It looks fun. I think my kids will like it, and I won't
probably.
Hate taking them to see it. Isabella Moner, I liked her in Sicario 2, and she was really good in that Marky Mark Rose Byrne movie, Instant Family, I think it was.
It was.
I like her. It looks goofy. like it looks like they're taking the tone that you would have to take with a Dora movie. It's from the team, the dudes minus Jason Segel that brought the Muppets back and made it work. I was hesitant about this movie, but I think it looks like fun. Not, you know, I have kids, so I can see it.
Sure.
It just looks like something I won't dread taking them to see.
I am not dreading. I am, in fact, full steam ahead on our next movie, which is August 2nd. Fast and the Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Parabellum.
Directed by David Leitch, starring Dwayne Johnson, Jason Statham, and Idris Elba. It is the 9th film in the Fast series, and I'm going to mark it down now. It will be the first in the series either of us are going to watch.
Oh, I'm absolutely seeing this.
Yes.
I'm absolutely seeing Idris Elba as a, like, genetically enhanced, like, villain. Oh, yeah. I don't care. Yes.
Talk about putting shit in a hat and just picking it out. Like,
and Statham and The Rock. Like, all right, yeah, okay. I'm into this movie.
That has got Drive-In written all over it. I cannot wait. The fact that it is a Fast and the Furious movie means nothing to me. The fact that it is The Rock and Jason Statham teaming up to fight Idris Elba, who is trying to cancel his canceling of the apocalypse. Yeah, I'm in. Bring it. A movie that maybe we thought had reached its apocalypse.
This isn't coming out. We'll talk about it, but this will not be... This, we'll say ahead of time, because we do these, and then dates change and stuff.
Yes.
This movie is not coming out. This will end up on Hulu or something.
Disney's saying it's coming out.
This movie is not going to come out.
This movie is Josh Boone's New Mutants, starring Anya Taylor-Joy, Maisie Williams, Queen of the North, and Charlie Heaton. After many rocky moments, maybe some still yet to come, lucky number 13 in the X-Men series sees the Fault in Our Stars director taking a stab at this horror-ish comic book movie.
And it's a shame. I really like the cast. I like Taylor Joy. I love Maisie Williams. I can't see this coming out. And I just think this will get shoved on Hulu or something.
Like a Disney Plus? I mean, it's not going to be on Hulu.
I think it'll be on Hulu.
No.
Why?
Why would Disney announce that it's coming out, go so far as to very recently say, yes, this is getting a theatrical release, and then go back on both of those things and put it on a streaming service? If they're going to put it on something, they have a new streaming service that they're launching this year.
I don't think they want associated with it. I think they want to keep it separate. I really do. I think it'll get dumped on Hulu. That's my guess.
Why even dump it on Hulu then? I mean, the movie's already made, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So why not just release it theatrically? I mean, how much is Hulu going to pay for it? If it goes out in the theaters, it's got to make at least $70 million, right?
Oh, no.
No? It's an X-Men movie. You don't think so?
I don't.
In a theatrical run, you don't think it makes $70 million? I don't mean open to 70. I mean gross 70 in a theatrical run.
I don't. I don't.
Okay. That is where we will differ. Disney's double-dipping with another book-based film the following week with Kenneth Branagh's Artemis Fowl, starring Fareeda Shah, Laura McDonald, Tamara Smart, and Josh Gad. Anytime he's in a movie, even if he's not billed high, I'm just putting him on there to see how many times I can say Josh Gad before Dave just explodes.
I mean, you know what? I don't hate Josh Gad. But I hate the idea of Josh Gad. I don't know what it is. Like,
I don't know either.
I don't know what I think it's just the Dan Fogler similarities. Like, I see Josh Gad and it's like, oh, a talented chubby white dude. You made it possible for Dan Fogler. People like you have made Dan Fogler possible.
He's enabling.
And I think that's why I get so mad, because Josh Gad's a good dude. I like him as a person. And then I realized, like, I don't think I've seen anything with Josh Gad in it, like, other than Frozen.
Beauty and the Beast?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
And, like, I went through his IMDb because I was having a conversation with it about Josh Gad with somebody. And I went through and, like, I've seen stuff, but I don't remember him in it. I don't know. I don't hate Josh Gad, but something about Josh Gad makes me think I hate him. But then when I stopped and realized, like, oh, I hate Dan Fogler, dude. You're different.
Different yet similar enough. Branagh helms this adaptation of the first two books in the Artemis Fowl series, written by Yoin Colfer.
I think they're trying to find that. It's like a tweener book, I'm pretty sure.
It sounds, you know, like another YA thing, which I don't think Disney has had a great deal of success with. One of the few things they haven't had a lot of success with as far as adapting from literature. Also in wide release that week is Tom Shadyac's Brian Banks, starring Aldis Hodge and Greg Kinnear. Tonally a little bit different. Hodge stars as the titular former USC recruit, falsely convicted of rape, putting a hold to his NFL dream. I think he did later, spoiler alert, get to go to camp with like the Broncos or somebody, but by that time, I think he did 10 years in the can, so he was...
Yeah, it's tough subject matter. It'll be interesting how they go about it. It's going to be a... This one's tough. Like, it's...
But it's a movie I think needs to be made, right? We're very cognizant nowadays, and we should be. When accusations are made, we certainly believe the victim. I think that maybe it's only 1% of the time, maybe it's 5% of the time, whatever it is, there is a percentage of people out there that do go to prison for things like this. And
I just feel like a more interesting, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, is the kid from Atlanta. He was like a 4- or 5-star recruit. He went to jail because when he was a senior in high school, he was 18.
Right, and his girlfriend was 17.
He got a blowy from a 16-year-old at a party, which was considered statutory. Ended up in jail, ruined the rest of his life. That kind of stuff is more interesting to me because I don't know. Maybe it's for me. I feel like there's so much out there of not wanting to believe the victim anyways, and to put out a story where you're not glorifying it, but showing like, see, they lie. I just think at this time it might be rough because it is so rare that it happens.
It is rare, but I do think it's important to show both sides of it.
I get it. Yeah, I get it. But
there are lives that get ruined when this kind of stuff happens. Somebody's life is ruined one way or the other. A lot of ruined lives in Andrea Berloff's The Kitchen, starring Melissa McCarthy, Tiffany Haddish, Elizabeth Moss, and Donald Gleason. Last year, Viola Davis, Michelle Rodriguez, and Elizabeth Debicki took over a heist after their husbands were killed. Or were they? This year, McCarthy and crew step up while their husbands are just in the joint. Or are they?
I am excited for this.
Yeah.
The graphic novel is dark. It's gritty. I think it'll be interesting because the cast with McCarthy and Haddish.
Yeah.
You would think it's like a
comedy. Nope.
I hope it's not. I hope they don't add that to it because it's a cool story. It rings similar to Widows.
Maybe it's unfair, but that's the first thing I thought. I like Widows a lot.
It's wives of crime bosses taking over the business.
Yep.
I hope it's good. I haven't seen a trailer yet at the time we record, so I really hope it's good. I like the cast a lot. I like the source material, so I'm on board.
Love the source material for Andre Overdahl's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, starring Zoe Coletti, Michael Garza, and Austin Abrams. These seminal Alvin Schwartz books from our youth, and I say our because I'm lumping Dave in there with me, though he is a smidge older, get the Goosebumps treatment from the director of 2010's Troll Hunter.
Hell yeah. The trailer sells it. Not that I wasn't on board already, but I'm even more on, because didn't John August write this, I think, or at least he did a draft of it?
I think so.
It's a hard adaptation to make because most of these stories are only 3 or 4 pages.
Right.
So how do you form a coherative or a, you know,
cohesive.
A cohesive like narrative about that?
Yeah.
The trailer looks fantastic.
Which is sort of the thing, and I specifically referenced the Goosebumps treatment, not just because it's a novel or a series that was brought to the screen, but the way that Goosebumps is a narrative. And we were unsure if that was going to be a good way to approach a Goosebumps movie. Turns out it worked really well the first time. It makes me believe that this can work. I still would have preferred this to be an anthology. I don't want to say like an ABCs of Death anthology where, you know, we're talking 5 to 10 minute stories here, because that just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to do a theatrical release for that. But I loved these books so much. I love the visuals in these books so much that I'm dying.
See them come to life.
Yeah. For me, that's it. And I haven't watched the full-blown trailer. I saw the Super Bowl thing with, you know, the spider hair coming out of the skin there, and that hit the tone for me. So this is a movie that I'm almost irrationally excited about. I mean, part of me wishes it wasn't in August and it was closer to Halloween, just because that's kind of the feeling I get. That's what I want. But I will certainly be more than happy to give my money to go see that right in the middle of August, which will bring us to August 14th, which is a Wednesday, and we get Grundir Gunther's Blinded by the Light, starring Vivek Kharla and Hayley Atwell. The writer of Bend It Like Beckham brings us a story of a young British fella seemingly obsessed with the boss, and then, of course, Bruce Springsteen.
I love Bend It Like Beckham.
Yeah.
And I like Hayley Atwell.
Haven't seen much of her recently, but I'm a big fan of Bend It Like Beckham as well. I don't believe she's directed a ton of stuff. She did also write this movie, so good on her for getting to make it. Wide release that week on Friday is 47 Meters Down, Uncaged, directed by Johannes Roberts, starring John Corbett, Nia Long, and Sophie Leslie. Nia Long and crew dive deep, 47 meters deep to be exact, and like Mandy Moore and Claire Holt did just 2 years ago, they meet some sharks.
Why? Why do we need this?
There was a run on shark movies. There was The Shallows and 47 Meters Down. Both did Meg. Pretty well. The Meg came somewhat later, yes. But I wouldn't be surprised if we got a sequel for all of those. They all did well enough. Did get a sequel for The Angry Birds. And that comes
Why
out
does
on
this
August
movie exist?
16th as well. Because the first one made enough money. Jason Sudeikis, Josh Gad, and Leslie Jones star in Thurup Van Orman and John Rhys's sequel in 3D. Because kids see movies, man. What else are they going to see this week?
Good Boys.
Perhaps. I think the discerning youth, or at least the parents that find themselves to be discerning, may want to see Gene Stupinski's Good Boys instead, starring the Good Boys, Jacob Tremblay, Keith L. Williams, and Brady Noon. Tremblay and crew embark on a misadventure to recover a drone that was used in some kissing-relating espionage from the writer of Year One and Bad Teacher, which doesn't bode well. Did not particularly care for either of those movies, but I'm still interested in this.
There's drugs involved as well.
Yes, there is.
I'm pretty sure Seth Rogen produced this.
He did.
It looks great. The
drugs,
trailer,
frats.
Yeah, the trailer came out. The trailer's great. I'm excited for this. This and Booksmart, I think, are two that have similarities, I think, to like Superbad. Superbad is one of my favorite movies ever, so I'm any movie that can remind me of that, yep, I'm watching it.
Yeah, I mean, this one, I don't want to say just because of the drugs, but it reminds me a little bit of like Dope. You know, you got a misadventure that just kind of unfolds over the course of a day or so. I'm into this. I'll very much be interested in seeing it. The same cannot necessarily be said for Joel Kinnaman movies, and he headlines Andrea DeStefano's The Informer, plays opposite Rosamund Pike, Clive Owen, and Common, where Kinnaman plays an ex-con and ex-special ops guy working undercover in the Polish mob.
Kinnaman's another one of those that I'm conflicted on. Like, I see Kinnaman, and it's like, I don't like Joel Kinnaman. But yet, I really like The Killing.
Yeah.
I really like Hannah. I liked him in that Safe House. I liked Altered Carbon. It's like, do I like Joel Kinnaman?
I don't like Joel Kinnaman movies.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, the foreign ones he did. What was that? Pusher? I don't know what my thought is on Joel Kinnaman. I he's one of those that if you ask me my opinion on Joel Kinnaman, I think I'm indifferent. But then I like a lot of Joel Kinnaman stuff.
I will not ask you your opinion on Joel Kinnaman. I do not need to ask you your opinion on Anya Taylor-Joy, nor do you need to ask me mine. We both love her. She is in Lino De Silva's Playmobile with Gabriel Bateman and Daniel Radcliffe, amongst others, not to be outdone by their better-known Danish counterparts. The German Lego company gets an animated movie.
Yeah.
Everything is gut.
Nah.
Coming down the home stretch here, we got two more to go. The penultimate movie on our summer preview list is Richard Linklater's Where'd You Go, Bernadette, starring Cate Blanchett as Bernadette, Billy Crudup, and Kristen Wiig. Linklater writes and directs this dramedy about a young girl searching for her prickly mother who has essentially disappeared.
This was supposed to come out in like March or April.
It was supposed to come out last year. It's been pushed back 4 to 5 times.
But I remember I did the calendar so far ahead, and I really wanted to do a Judy Greer episode because I thought that would be fun. And then I was like, oh, man, we had something else for this week, for the week that this was coming out. And it's like, when are we going to get another chance to do a Judy Greer episode? And then it got pushed August. Back. So it's like, hell yeah. So I'm going to try to squeeze it in because I love Judy Greer and she's in this.
She is not in our last movie, which is August 23rd. The only wide release that week is Rick Romanois' Angel Has Fallen, starring Gerard Butler, Morgan Freeman, and Danny Houston. Somehow, after saving key executive figures on no less than three separate occasions, Butler's Mike Banning is framed for an assassination attempt. I gotta believe if this Secret Service agent wanted either the president or vice president dead, all he would have had to do was take a nap.
You know what feels like to me is the fourth Die Hard, where it feels like this was a script that somebody wrote, like, oh, I have this great action movie about a Secret Service guy who is he's framed for an assassination, and they say, it's the third Has Fallen movie, and they adapt it, and just it just doesn't make sense.
I have not seen any of them past the first.
I haven't either.
I do not imagine that I will see this one.
I saw in a car fall in the first one, and somebody died in the car.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, like at the very beginning. Like, I think somebody's wife died in a car that fell off a bridge. That's all I know.
That may have happened.
It's no White House Down.
No.
Wish we were getting the third White House Down movie.
We haven't even got a second one yet,
no,
have we?
No. But I wish in an alternate universe that that was the one that caught on and that we were getting a third White House Down movie.
Such as it is, that is our summer preview. I think we've done a pretty good job of telling you ones that we may be kind of excited about. I think that this summer, there does seem to be a little bit for everybody. We've got some romantic comedies. We've got some kids' movies. Between,
got an old people movie.
Yeah, old people movie. You've got comic book movies. You got horror movies.
More horror than usually. Usually there's like one horror that's put in the middle to make some money.
Yeah.
There's a lot of horror this year.
And, of course, it coming out at the beginning of September. I think this is going to be a really interesting summer where there's, I mean, literally there is something for everyone, which is good. I mean, I think in the summer, especially in Ohio, when you get like 9 days of sun a year, you don't necessarily want to spend one of them in a movie theater for a couple hours. But I think there are so many that, I mean, I love going to the drive-in. It's one of my favorite things in the summer. You get two movies that sometimes aren't in the same genre. And maybe it's, you know, I want to see this one. Sarah wants to see this one. I think that's a good way to spend an evening. You get to sit outside, enjoy a movie in the elements. If you've got a drive-in near you, make the trip. I do believe you'll be able to find at least two movies this summer that'll be worth that. Anything that we kind of maybe glossed over that you want to circle back to that you were excited about?
No. The only thing I hate about doing these kind of previews is, like, I like a lot of movies.
Yeah.
I get excited about a lot of movies, and I don't want them to just be like every title. It's like, oh, I'm excited for this
movie. Yeah, right.
Ryan says title. Dave says, I'm excited for this movie. Ryan says title. Dave says, I'm excited for this movie. I sometimes worry about that, but there's a lot of good stuff.
And
we've seen it transition from, you know, in the eight, we have our 7 or 8 year anniversary coming up. We've seen the old summer movie season die.
Cowboys versus Aliens.
Yeah, we've seen that Battleship. Yeah. Like, we've seen that summer season die.
The Lone Ranger.
And now we get quality variety. And it's fantastic. And I love it. We're getting great March releases. We're getting great November releases. So I just really like how that's transitioned. And it does make doing these fun because we're getting such a good variety of movies.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like we're, you know, talking about, call it 50 movies and 40 of them we don't care about or look like they're going to be garbage. I mean, there's a lot of these movies that I think are going to be a lot of fun to watch. And there's some that don't sound cool to us at the time we're recording this. By the time they come out and we hear more and we see more or just see them on a lark, I'm sure that there are some that are going to be really awesome and that we have just skipped over. Did not skip over The Avengers. As a matter of fact, that is where we started and is where we're going to start next week with an episode. We will not have seen Endgame by the time we record the episode, although we will have both seen it by the time it comes out. But we are going to kind of wrap up, sort of. I mean, Endgame is, in my opinion, really kind of wrapping up this first, we'll call it half, perhaps, of the MCU. So we're going to kind of
phase.
Yeah.
Like, it's phase four, but the first segment, section.
However you want to put a point on it. We always do a Marvel episode. Last year, we waited a little bit longer to actually do one on Infinity War. We wanted to make sure people had a chance to see it so we didn't spoil anything. This year, we're just going to kind of talk in more general terms of about how the Marvel movies have fared to this point, maybe what we can expect or hope from
and maybe for Endgame. Just figure out what our favorites are.
Oh yeah, I think we're gonna do that too.
Yeah.
To find out what our favorites are and compare them to yours, come back next week. But until then,
keep it up.